that you're here. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless our time together. Father, you've been so good to us to give us another day of life. And Lord, we are borrowing breath from your throne of grace right now as we speak. And Lord, as we do, Lord, not just on Sunday, but every day, we pray that you'd help us to steward that breath. We pray that you would give us grace. You would give us wisdom today in this church service and in the hours that we have together. Lord, to pay attention carefully to what the Spirit of God has to say to this church. I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. We thank you for our salvation through your Son. We thank you, Father, that you are love. And Father, we pray that today as we draw nigh unto you, that we would do so with a heart of purity, that we would do so, Lord, with the intent to please you in all things, that you would be glorified and that you would be honored. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church to be faithful to giving to missions. Lord, it's above the tithe. It's beyond the tithe. But it's not beyond the throne of grace. I'm so grateful that we can't outgive our God. I'm so grateful that there is no need that you have never met. And I'm so grateful, Lord, now to be old and have been young, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Thank you for always providing for us. Thank you, Father, for the health today, even to get into this building. We pray now that you would bless the word of God. Be with our speaker today. Thank you for giving us a special friend in Brother Baldwin. We pray that you'd bless him and his family. I pray that you'd be with Jeanette, Lord, in discomfort, strengthen her, and be with Brother Kenny today as he preaches. Bless their ministry. And God, I pray that you'd be glorified all over this country because of churches that preach the Bible and the gospel. And we pray that you're blessed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. And it's certainly good to be back here. And I will say very publicly, I love your pastor and his family, and I pray for them and this church every day since coming out here in 2015. This is a very special place, and I'm a great-grandpa, and I love Peyton. What a beautiful, beautiful gift that God's given them and all of you, and I see the smiles on their face, and I know what it's like. And so thank you for being here, and this is a special time. I'm in mission conferences all the time. Our church has had, this year will be our 34th, 35th consecutive one, and missions emphasis every January, so this is a great time. And I'm sorry I missed last year. I was looking forward to coming back here, and he didn't hold it against me. He let me come for your missions emphasis and still invited me to come back for your missions conference, so I appreciate that. And thank you for not kicking me aside. Take your Bibles, if you would, and I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. A very familiar passage. I'm sure it's been preached on, taught many, many times. We're going to look at this passage and then one other passage here and then talk a little bit about missions emphasis today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Father, bless the time of teaching God's word. Thank you for this local New Testament church that has a heart for missions. I pray you'll bless this day. May it be a special time for every man, woman, boy, or girl. Challenge our hearts in a special way. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor said a few moments ago that this is your missions emphasis Sunday. I go places where they call it missions emphasis or they call it booster Sunday. Every year, any good local New Testament church that understands the Bible, has a heart for what God has a heart for, has a missions conference. That ought to be the highlight of the year for every good Bible-believing church. And then the missions emphasis is kind of a booster type Sunday, or remind us, as he said, for new people to get involved. Now, let me say, I believe that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl ought to be involved in giving to missions. I think this is the heartbeat of God. I think the mission of the church is missions. And let me say a little bit about that thought. As Pastor mentioned, the heartbeat of the bloodline of a local church. Think about what missions is. Planting local New Testament churches like Shadow Mountain Baptist Church all around the world. This is why the church exists. We don't just exist to build building, build large congregation. When our congregation grows or we get a larger building, we have more people. The whole idea is to get more of God's people involved in getting the Great Commission around the world. Now think about the Great Commission and what it is and what the mission of the church is. God gave, according to Matthew chapter 28, he gave the church, not an organization, not a Bible college, he gave the local New Testament church, this living organism, a commission and a command to evangelize the world. It was given to the church. Now, that plan is authentic. That means we don't need a new one. All right, so we're not going to try to teach a new plan. We have one that's authentic, given by Christ to the church as a command. So think about this plan. I'm learning something. I'm involved in something that is given to the church that I'm a part of by Christ as a command. All right? Then along with that plan, that authentic plan that's given to the church, God gave the church an assured promise. He says, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, Crossroads Baptist Church, every New Testament Baptist church, if you are carrying out this authentic plan, I assure you of a promise from God. That promise is you'll have my presence, although I am with you, talking to the church, always his divine providence. In other words, way back then it existed, 2017 it existed. All right, so we still, nothing has changed. The White House has changed, the weather changes, jobs change, but the plan has never changed. It's authentic. So the church has that assured promise. Then according to Acts 1:8, he says that that authentic plan that has my assured promise can only be accomplished by my power. But ye, speaking to the church, have received power. All right, you have the power to do this. Now, the fourth part of that plan that was given to the local church, that plan that's authentic, that promise that's assured, that power that's given to the church, he says, it can only be advanced by my people. Now, you think about it. God didn't choose angels to get the gospel around the world. He chose people, those of us who've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get saved, scripturally baptized, become a part of a local New Testament church, and we are plugged into this organism to advance this plan that has that promise and that power that's authentic. So I want you to think about that. As a member of the local church, God has chosen each one of you to advance that plan. I mean, the power is there. The plan is there, the promise is there, but it can only be advanced by the people of God. That's where we run into problems. The power is always there. The plan is always authentic. The promise is always assured. But we often have problems with people because sometimes as people, we are stubborn. We are selfish. We even become sinful from time to time. And yet God has chosen us to do that. So I want you to think about that here. This authentic plan that's given this local church, that's assured God's promise, accomplished by God's power, can only be advanced by the people of God, which includes my provision, includes my time, includes my talent, includes my treasure. So I want you to think about this thought today as we think about this mission's emphasis. What can I give as one of the people of God who's a part of the local church to make missions successful in the sight of God? I want every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. You can't improve the plan. Okay? The promise comes from God. The power comes from God. All you can do is help advance the plan by what you give personally as an individual to advance this plan. And I want to give you three things during this Sunday school, starting here in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Three things that every church member can give to advance this plan of God to make your missions program successful in the sight of God. How many would like to have the missions program of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church be successful in the sight of God? Amen. All right? Here are three things. These things we must happen in order to satisfy God. Okay? He's the one that we want to please. First of all, we know the story here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 here. I believe chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians give us a scriptural, a simple, systematic, and successful biblical plan for financing missions around the world. All right? So this is preached, taught, it works. Our church has been involved in it for 35 years, and it's a proven plan that works. All right? I want you to know, you know the story here. The Apostle Paul, the great missionary evangelist, went into Corinth, preached the gospel. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the kind of people that got saved. I mean, they were drunkards. They were all kinds of people. They got saved, but from the preaching of the gospel, not only did they get saved, they got baptized, joined the local church. He spent 18 months there, and then he wrote a letter back, and he said the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in that place. They came behind in no gift. Became a great church. So he told them about this special offering for the saints of Jerusalem, and the church of Corinth that he loved so dearly made a promise to give to this offering. They were so excited about it that Paul went to the churches of Macedonia, told them about what Corinth had promised. These little poor churches, little new churches, got excited and start participating. 1 year later, Corinth never kept their promise. Kind of sounds like churches today. We make promises and don't keep them. All right, but so Paul now writes back to the church of Corinth and gives them an example of what the churches of Macedonia did to get them to keep the promise they made. That's kind of the context of what he's writing here. And he writes back in these first five verses, and he gives them an example of what faith promise really is all about. I want you to notice verse number 5. Hear what he said. He said, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Here's the first thing. Now listen to me very carefully. Here's the most important thing that you can do to help your missions program be successful in the sight of God is to give yourself to Christ. God is not hard up. Money is not an issue with God. People, we as people that God loved and died for and saved, He has chosen. An omniscient, all-powerful, ever-present, immutable God has chosen people to advance the greatest plan the world knows anything about. Who is to question God? All right? So God says, I want you to be involved in this. And the churches of Macedonia that were poor churches, baby churches, got involved, gave to their ability, beyond their ability, gave sacrificially, gave by faith, participated with excitement because they first gave themselves to the Lord. So what, as a member of the local church, as a man, woman, boy, or girl, What is God looking for this day or during a missions conference that's going to please Him more than anything else? He wants you. They first gave themselves to the Lord. So in order for a missions program to be successful, God needs men, women, boys, and girls to give themselves to Christ. You notice He says they made it a priority. God will never take second place in our lives. He wants to be first. I remember when I was in business years ago and got saved in 1976. And I was in business and was doing pretty well. And I was excited about helping my church, went to the church. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to take my business. I'm going to commit it to the Lord. I'm going to make money. I'm going to buy buses for the church. My church is not going to have to worry about anything. I'm going to do it all. And you know what? The more I tried to give, the more God burdened my heart until July 16, 1978, when I gave him me. And he said, that is when I found peace. God's not impressed with our ability. He's not impressed with our resources. He's not impressed with our education. He's only impressed with our heart. And he says, these people first, they made it a priority. You can put all the money in the offering plate that you can make, and you can be well off, and you can do well, and looks like you have a few millionaires around here. You can give all that, but if you don't give him you, he'll never be satisfied. They made it a priority. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to a person. You know, missions is not about giving yourself to the pastor, or giving yourself to the deacons, or giving yourself to the church. It's giving yourself to a person. He wants to be number one in your life. And the Bible says they gave to their power or to their ability. And they gave beyond. That's by faith. I don't believe anybody can ever give by faith if you're not willing to first give sacrificially. If you don't give out of what you already have, if you're not willing to take, I don't care how little it may be, if you're not willing to sacrifice what you already have, it's a waste of time to pray and ask God to help you to give by faith. Give by faith. So they first gave themselves, and they gave an example. So Paul says, Corinth, you are better, you're well off, you're better off than the churches of Macedonia. But look at this example of what can happen when a man, woman, boy, or girl says, Lord, you can have me. You're number one in my life. And when he has me, he has my time, he has my talent, he has my treasure. I've never met a person who puts the Lord first in his life that has a problem giving. You can give and not love, but you cannot love God and not give. It just kind of goes together. Amen. All right, so the first thing that God's looking for from every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to make the missions program of this church what God wants it to be, he wants you. So throughout the day, think about this. Have I given myself totally to the Lord? Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want of me, my time is yours. My talent is yours. My treasure is yours. You're number one in my life. He will never be satisfied until he gets that. All right, that's the first thing. What can I give to make mission successful? I need to give myself to the Lord. And then I want to look at an Old Testament passage here, and I want to draw some principles. Open the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Very interesting story. Pastor, what time are we to stop? 10:50? Exodus chapter 17. And let's look at verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and call the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. All right, here's a second thing that I want to draw from this passage that you can give to make missions a success. You have to first give self to Christ. Here's a story. The nation of Israel comes out of Egypt. The first nation to attack them were these Amalekites, these wicked Amalekites, and they were wicked. They would come up behind those that were straggling along and attack them first. And God says, I'm going to wipe out Amalek. I'm going to wipe out the Amalekites completely. And he says, Moses, I want you to put together an army, and I want you to go out, and I want you to destroy these Amalekites. Now, keep in mind, wiping out the Amalekites, this was the plan of God that the people of God were to be involved in. This was the plan of God. So I want to draw some principles here of how this battle took place and how they accomplished what God wanted them to do. And I want to apply that to God's plan of missions as a local church. Keep in mind, the plan of evangelizing the world, that authentic plan, is given to the church, assured the promise, accomplished by the power, but advanced by the people. So God needs people, first of all, to say, if we're going to advance this plan, God's got to find some men, women, boys, and girls in this local church that are going to give themselves to him. That's where we're going to start. Secondly, since missions is not a one-day program or a one-week program, it's an ongoing program. You're not going to have a great missions program by having a speaker come in one day or having a missions conference once a week. This is an ongoing thing. This is something the church is involved in all the time. This is why we exist. This is why we go soul winning. This is why we win people. Do you realize that why, and by the way, winning people to the Lord, discipling them, getting them in the church, you are helping them to have more people to advance this plan. That's the whole work of the church. That's an ongoing thing all along. So when you have a missions emphasis or a missions conference, you don't want to end it when the conference ends or when the missions emphasis ends. You want this to be an ongoing thing for the people of God all along. So if we have people who first give themselves to Christ, then the second thing to make a missions program successful, you must give your support to the church. Keep in mind, it's the church that God has commissioned and commanded to carry out the Great Commission. Now, I want to draw some principles from this battle. They're fighting the Amalekites. The first thing that God wants from people who are supporting the church is the idea. I'm going to give myself to Christ, but all year long, the heartbeat of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church is evangelizing the world, and God needs every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every church member to support that plan, that commitment all year long. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that as people? Well, the first thing you notice here, here's the battle. Defeat the Amalekites. And what did God tell Moses to do? Choose us out men to go out and fight. Here's what we need people to do to make a missions conference successful. We need people to participate in the action. Missions is an ongoing program. If we don't get people to participate, we need people to participate who are willing to go. We need people to participate who's willing to give. We need people to participate and willing to participate all year long. So the first thing you ought to ask yourself, am I participating in the action? What is the action? The action is reaching the world, giving, going, praying, all of this. Every person in a missions conference ought to make sure when that conference is over, from that time on until the next conference comes, which ought to be motivated to do more, I'm going to participate. I'm going to participate. If you're not participating in the missions program of your church, that's where you ought to start today. He says, choose me out some men. God says, I'm looking for some people. Matter of fact, I'm looking for some people to go. I'm looking for some people to go to the mission field. But I'm looking for every person to participate in the program of this local church. So you need to participate in the action. Then I want you to notice, secondly, what happened. Moses here is carrying out this program. Notice verse number 11. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now get a hold of this. One thing for certain. You choose the biggest armies you can find. Joshua takes the people to go out and fight. But Moses was smart enough to know what all of us need to know. We need to get a hold of God while they're fighting. So you not only need to participate in the action, but we need every man, woman, boy, and girl praying actively on a regular basis for your missions program. You ought to pray for money to come in. You ought to pray for the missionaries. You ought to pray for miracles. You ought to pray for manpower. Why? We're involved in getting the gospel around the world. The devil is against that. We're selfish. All kinds of things are happening in this world. But if people got on their knees every single day, where those who are participating in the action, fighting on the battle, know that you got some hands, say, God help us. God help us. God bless. I just made a commitment, Lord. I know the devil's going to be against that, but I'm going to pray that you take care of that, because the church is depending upon me to give my time, my talent, and my treasure to get the gospel around the world. So we need people praying actively. So Moses, they're holding up his hands. He's getting a hold of God. When he lets down his hands, they start losing the battle. When we leave God out and leave prayer out when it comes to missions, it's not going to work. So we need everybody praying actively on a regular basis for the missions program of your church. Thirdly, Moses' hands get heavy, verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. We need people to participate in the action. That's your missions program. You ought to be giving. You need to be praying actively. Everybody ought to be praying every single day. And thirdly, you ought to be providing assistance. What can I do? Could I write the missionaries? Could I do something? What can I do? This is an ongoing program all year long. What can I do? Your missions conference coming up. Could I provide meals? What can I do to provide assistance to the leadership of my local church that's involved in this great plan of getting the gospel around the world? Look for opportunities to provide any kind of assistance to help your missions program be what God wants it to be. All right, so we start by participating in the action. Everybody needs to do that. Praying actively, everybody ought to be doing that. And then you ought to say, what can I do? What can I offer? How can I provide assistance? After all, this is God's plan given to our church, and I want it to be the best that it could be. All right, number four. This is the one that's very, very interesting, and we need more of that, and we tend to get less of this in missions programs than anything. All right, we start by participating in the action, praying actively, providing assistance. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people. And notice this phrase, with the edge of the sword. The plan of God was go out and destroy the Amalekites. When the Bible says he defeated them with the edge of the sword, it was a great, great victory. Now here's what I believe ought to happen to missions. We need people to participate in the action. We need people praying actively. We need people providing assistance. But when it comes to missions, which is the heartbeat of God, we need to find some people in our local church that are going to perform aggressively. I'm going to really do this with all of my heart. I'm going to step out. Would to God that in a missions conference or a missions emphasis, God could reach down in a local church and find some people, even in the matter of giving, that says, I'm not just going to be a token giver. I'm going to really step out by faith. I'm going to really sacrifice. I'm going to really perform aggressive. I'm not going to just get by. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ loved the world and died for the world, and I want to love what he loved. So God, this time, help me to do a little bit more than I've done before. Help me to do like Jesus, to go a little bit further than I've ever gone before. I'm not just going to perform to say I'm involved in the missions program. I'm going to do it aggressively. I'm going to step out. I'm going to really exercise some faith. Very few Christian people really ever give by faith, because we're not willing to give sacrificially, and if we're not willing to give sacrificially, then we're not going to give by faith. You ought to determine, you know what? If he went all the way to Calvary for me, then I'm going to go a little bit further for him. This year at my missions program is not going to be just what I can figure out. I'm going to really step out on the limb, and I'm going to do it aggressively. I'm going to perform aggressively. After all, I want our missions program to be the best it could be for the glory of God. I want him to look down from heaven and say, I've got some people there that are performing aggressively. They're not just participating in the action. They're not just praying actively. They're just not providing assistance. But when they filled out their faith promise, when they gave their commitment, when they gave their time, when they gave their talent, when they gave their treasure, they performed aggressively and helped make missions what it ought to be. And number five, notice verse number 15, and all of these are important. We need people to participate in the action. We need people praying actively, providing assistance, perform aggressively. Now, Joshua just whipped the Amalekites, and the men that went out were chosen. He comes back to Moses, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Joshua took his army, went out and whipped the Amalekites, beat them with the edge of the sword. Great, great victory while Moses was praying. Aaron and Hur were holding up his hands. I want you to picture this. Here comes Joshua and his men back from this great victory. Moses didn't say, hey, Josh, boy, you guys were good. You guys really did a great job. You really whipped them. You know what he did? He built an altar. He gave God the honor. When it comes to missions, we can perform aggressively, pray actively, provide assistance. We can do all of this. But the end result is, let's praise God always. Amen. He gets the glory. Amen. It's his program. He gives us health to work. He gives us job. He gives us time. He gives us children. He gives us everything that we have. It is his program, and he chooses to let us be involved. And I don't care if I give more money than anybody in the church. There's nothing for me to brag on. I need to brag on him. Amen. God, look what you've done in and through my life. The mission program of church is God's program. Yes, let's participate in the action. Let's pray actively. Let's provide assistance. Let's perform aggressively. But at the end of the year or the end of the day, when it's all said and done, if you have the greatest commission you've ever had, the greatest increase you've ever had, God always gets the glory for it. Praise God every single day of your life that he gives you the health, the mind, the education, to whatever you have to participate in his program. So if we're going to have a great missions program in the local church, we need to first give ourselves to Christ. Secondly, all year long, give your support to the church. And then finally, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll see the last thing. Each of these is so important. I've been in churches that give a lot of money, but that doesn't necessarily say that's a great missions program. God doesn't accept money in the place of accepting lives. He wants people. He wants people to give themselves to Christ, give their support to the church. And then thirdly, you have to give your substance to the cause. I heard a long time ago, 40-some years, money equals souls. I've never seen a missionary get to the mission field without it costing money. And God included that. And by the way, giving is a part of worship. We need to understand it. If a missions program is going to be what it needs to be, we need people to give themselves to Christ. And we need people to give their support to the church. But we have to have those same people give their substance to the cause. The cause is to reach 7.5 4+ billion people around the world. It takes people giving themselves to Christ, because some of those people who give themselves to Christ, Christ will call to go. All of those members back here that are giving their support, they're going to be participating in the action. They're going to be praying actively. They're going to be providing assistance, performing aggressively, praising God. All of that is necessary. But those same people, God has chosen to give their substance to the cause. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we were just looking at this, these wonderful verses here, he talks about this missions giving. And he says in verse number 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." When it comes to missions, God says there's a very fruitful principle. If you stop and think about it, God owns everything, including us. We at best are managers of something we don't own. I don't own my time. I don't own my talent. I don't own my I don't own my children. They're all God. I'm managing things for God. And God says, I want you to be a good man. It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. So we are managers. And God says, but I tell you what, I'm so committed to this thing of reaching the world. He could have chosen angels, but he didn't. He says, I've saved people, and I want those people to love me and love what I love. I love the souls, and I've demonstrated. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 sometimes where we started, and you read that verse number 9 where he throws in there about the sacrifice. That's there for a reason. He's putting that right in the middle and talking about giving, grace giving, and how God gave himself, gave his son. He wants us to understand he wants people to do this because we love him. We love him and love what he loves. But he says, I created man, so I know what man's like. So he says, I'll tell you what you're going to do. I want you to give your substance, but I want you to understand that if you give it, there's a very fruitful principle that goes along with giving. If you give, which is sowing bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. You know, the problem with giving to missions is that we wanna sow a dollar and reap $100. We wanna sow a little and reap a lot. God said there's a fruitful principle. I work this, you reap what you sow. If you really want more, then you're gonna have to give more. He said there's a very fruitful principle. You reap what you sow. Now, it would take me forever to tell you. I've been giving to missions all my Christian life, twice a year, every January, every May. I increase my faith promise giving. I give more. There's nothing. Years ago, I committed that I would never have anything that cost that I would give more to, including a mortgage, than I give to the Lord. That's just something I decided years and years ago. So every year, twice a year, 35 plus years, I increase my giving without my income going up. And I have more today than I've ever had in my life. There's no way to explain that from a human perspective. The only thing I can go back and say, it has to be that fruitful principle works like it says in the Bible. God will not be indebted to any of us. You cannot give to God's program of reaching the world without God giving back. He says there's a very fruitful principle. He says if you involve your resources, which are his anyway, you invest in my program of reaching the world, you increase your giving on a consistent basis, you will reap the benefits from it. That's a biblical principle. That's a very fruitful principle that you have people in here could get up and testify to that, can testify all over the world that giving to God, you may have to sacrifice, you may have to have some faith, but you can't give to God without God giving back. So there's a very fruitful principle. And then he says, but I want it to be done with a very faithful purpose. Verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart. Now, I've said all over the world in preaching, Missions is spiritual business. All right, that's why I go back to giving yourself. God's not trying to get a group of lost people and carnal people to do the most spiritual thing in the world, to reach the world. He wants people, because he understands if he gets us, he has everything that we have. So he says, every man as he purposes. So when you start giving the missions, God says, I want you to purpose it in your heart. I want it to be a heart matter. I want it to be something you do from your heart. Then he says, if you do it from your heart, there's going to be an attitude of commitment. He says, every man as he purposes in his heart. He says, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. God said, I don't want you to feel obligated you come to church and when it's offering time, you feel like, oh my goodness, oh my. No. It ought to be a joyful time. It ought to be a time of worship because you purpose in your heart to give because you love God, not because you're forced or commanded to do. And he says, I want you to do that. There's a very faithful purpose in your heart, because God is not moved by intellect or ability or what we have in this life. He's only moved when he sees a heart committed to him. All right. And then he says, it's not only a fruitful principle and a faithful purpose, but he says, here's something I want you to get a hold of. There's a fantastic provision involved. And I think Pastor might have mentioned the verse number 8. And God is able. How many believe that? God is able. You know what he's saying? God, not us. I can take you wherever you are, whatever your circumstances may be in life, I can take you and I'm able to take your situation and make it work.
Amen.
Now, for some people, we have to sacrifice more. Some people, it takes more faith. But God says, I'm not limited by your circumstances. You may be limited by your circumstances, but not me. I'm able. What I have told you, I'm not in the business of making you miserable. I've been doing this, God says, for a long, long time. I know what I'm doing. I instituted this way back when I started my church. I'm the one that started this living organism. I'm the one that gave this great commission. I knew what I was doing. When I told those disciples in corporate sense to do it, I looked all the way to 2017 and I saw Shadow Mountain. I saw every situation. I saw your circumstance. I don't want you to look at your situation and determine what you're going to do. I want you to purpose in your heart to do it and trust me to take your situation and make it work. And the end result is you're going to benefit from it. You're going to gain from your giving. And may God help us to understand that this matter of giving to missions is God's business. And if I were doing it, knowing I've gotten a little older now and been around people of all walks of life, I preached in mission conferences with 30 people and 4,000 people and sizes all in between. You know what I found out about churches? People are the same. You have the same kind of people in all kinds of churches. And we are sinners saved by grace. If I were doing it, knowing people, I pastored for 30 years, and we're interesting people. We are interesting. I would not have chosen people to do the most important work. You know, angels obey, you don't have to worry about it. But God says, I want people to do this because they'll realize how much I love them, and I want them to love me. And I'll give them the plan so they don't have to go around and write books and figure out how to do it. They'll just said, I'll give it to them because I'm Christ. I'm going to give it to the church. I'm going to give it as a command. And then I'm going to give them something to go along with it. I'm going to assure them that, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'm going to give them my power, my Holy Spirit power, to live in them, to empower them. But I need them to advance the plan. And I need them to do it by giving themselves to me, giving their support to my organism called the church, and giving their substance that I've allowed them to manage for me to the cause of reaching the world. And I'm going to bless them as they do it. As they sow, they're going to reap. And I'm going to look at all of their situations. And sometimes they're not the best of situations. But I left nobody out in this because I'm able. I'm able to take their situation and make it work for them so that they're included in my program of reaching the world. May God help us to give self to Christ, support to the church, and your substance to the cause. And this church, like every New Testament church that does that, will have a great missions program in the sight of God. Our Father, we love you. We thank you that not only did you save us, but you allow us to be involved in the program. And we disappoint you so many times, but you thank you for your mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I pray that you'll help this Missions Emphasis Sunday to be something that's well-pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Baldwin.